Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. It is 6:33 on a very pleasant 80-degree plus evening in Lansing. Thank you for joining us. Well, is algebra necessary? That's the question my next guest asks in his New York Times opinion piece. It ranks now the most popular, one of the most popular of the day. In fact, he goes on to question our entire rationale for demanding all students study high-level mathematics in our high schools and colleges. Andrew Hacker is the Emeritus Professor of Political Science at Queens College, City University of New York, and the co-author of the book Higher Education, How Colleges Are Wasting Our Money and Failing Our Kids and What We Can Do About It. He taught at Cornell before taking his current position at Queens. Professor Hacker, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
Well, it's great to be here. May I just add, I'm not really an emeritus. I continue to teach regularly.
Okay, good to know. Now, your experience in academia, it spans, what, 50-plus years?
Oh, I don't want to count it. It sets some kind of national record. But I figure as long as I can remember the students' names, I'll keep on teaching.
Well, that's remarkable in itself. Now, you say whether it's geometry, algebra, or calculus, requiring proficiency in mathematics is a stumbling block for many students. Although, hasn't that always been the case, or has the mathematics curriculum somehow changed in the last several decades?
Well, that's interesting. Once upon a time, a lot of kids were not expected to finish high school. They could leave and get jobs. But now we make everybody stay in high school through the final high school year, and that includes algebra, trigonometry, calculus, and so on. As a result, we have a dropout rate, which is really shameful. About a quarter of the students who start in ninth grade do not finish. They don't get a high school diploma. And the chief academic reason, I've been told again and again, is algebra.
Now, you write that, quote, there are many defenses of algebra and the virtue of learning it. Most of them sound reasonable on first hearing. Many of them I once accepted, but the more I examine them, the clearer it seems that they are largely or wholly wrong. So tell me, what are these virtues that you once accepted, and why do you now view them as wrong?
Well, there's what I might call the standard story. It's first that mathematics, enhances your thinking ability, makes you more rational, more cogent. This is a total fiction. I would say studying chess probably helps you more than algebra. Another is that we live in an age of high-tech jobs. Well, sure, there are a lot of high-tech jobs, and I'm happy to identify them, but 95% of us, and that includes lawyers and doctors, will never need algebra in our jobs.
I'm talking to Professor Andrew Hacker. He's a professor of political science at Queens College. Now, one thing that is clear, though, is that American students are particularly poor in their math skills and science, for that matter, as compared to students in other developed countries. Why is that the case, do you think?
Okay, here it is. There's an international test. It's called PISA, P-I-S-A. I won't spell it out. And it's students from about, 40 different countries take this test in mathematics. Guess what? We score about 25th, close to the bottom. Up at top are Finland, South Korea, Singapore, and indeed even Canada. Now, why do those students in other countries do better in math? It's because they're more persevering, they're more conscientious, they buckle down and do whatever they're told to do. And as a result, they do very well in math. If we had an international test in crossword puzzles, the Finns and the South Koreans would score at the top also.
I'm not sure. So essentially it says that American students are maybe somewhat less disciplined.
Oh, we are. Our American students are certainly less disciplined. And they look at algebra and geometry and they ask, why should we be studying it? Whereas in Korea, they're very deferential. They say, our honorable teachers say we should study it, so they do.
So let me ask you, though, what do you envision replacing these mathematics courses? Would there be some way to challenge students on this intellectual level without math?
Absolutely. I am all in favor of all sorts of course sequences in what might be called quantitative reasoning, quantitative literacy, where we learn about statistics, the use of numbers. For example, somebody will come out and say, the new health care plan will bankrupt us. And they give a lot of figures. Someone else will say, no, no, the health care plan will actually increase our gross domestic product. They give figures. A good citizen should be able to look at those figures, ask certain questions, even do some research to discover which figures are fact, which are fiction. Now, that is actually demanding. That's not dumbing down. That requires as much application as learning algebra.
Well, some would say, okay, if we're gonna eliminate these high-level mathematics requirements, why don't we eliminate some science requirements also, and really just whittle it down to essentially reading and writing skills that are the essence of needing to be a productive citizen?
No, I disagree totally. I have been a liberal arts professor for more years than I care to count. I believe in the liberal arts, and I believe that mathematics and the sciences are liberal arts. What we should have taught by our mathematicians are courses in the history of mathematics, the philosophy of mathematics. Mm-hmm. Mathematics is one of humanity's greatest creations. I lead the cheering section for it. Students should be able to know what Fermat's conjecture was all about, or let's say what Galileo, we all know who he was. He said, mathematics is the language of nature. Hey, that's great. People should know about that, just as they should know about Shakespeare. But our mathematics people aren't teaching them that. They're teaching them polynomials they'll never use.
Hmm. Well, I mean, in a sense, though, you're scratching the surface. It seems that anyone that has made their way through high school and college has felt that a lot of things they studied were kind of useless.
Well, you know, when you add it up, if you were made to read To Kill a Mockingbird, or a couple of Shakespeare's plays, I really hope you didn't feel those were useless. But when you ask yourself about why I had to learn about isosceles triangles, there I think you could say it was useless. Now, it could be that you thought your chemistry class was useless, but that's because they never told you what chemistry is all about, how chemistry explains our world. One of the problems of our science people is they just don't treat it as what I call a liberal art.
So what we'd end up with, though, is we'd end up with this very small minority of students that actually go through mathematics into the 12th grade and beyond, and then what, 90-plus, maybe 99% even of students would probably gladly avoid that, would they not?
Okay, let me give you a figure here. Hey, I'm all in favor of numbers. Last year, 1.6 million young Americans got bachelor's degrees. 1.6 million got bachelor's degrees. Would you care to guess how many of those had majored in mathematics?
Out of 1.6 million bachelors?
What percent would you say had majored in mathematics?
Less than 5%.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%. I see.
Nationwide, not even 15,000 young people majored and got bachelor's degrees in mathematics. Now, why is that? It's because mathematics is taught as this occult, kind of archaic sort of sets of formulas that only in the end of the pipeline, only 15,000 people are interested enough to get their degrees in it. I would put mathematicians and mathematics faculties on the defensive. I would say they should teach interesting, exciting courses so that word will get around and people want to study it. This point, it's compulsory, and virtually nobody wants to study it.
What has the reaction been of other academics to your proposal? I'm guessing some are very much against it on some levels.
Okay. Since I wrote this piece, it's amazing. Almost 500 people wrote into the New York Times, which stopped. It said we're not going to take any more letters. I've got several hundred coming to my personal email and even more elsewhere. It's two ways. Half of them say, thank God, Professor Hacker, you finally said what's been bothering me. My life was almost ruined by algebra, but I finally got through and made something, out of a career, but what an obstacle it was. The other ones come from, shall we say, professional mathematicians, either teachers or others. And they act as if, what should I say, I'm stripping them of their clothing. If I had my way, they'd kind of be naked in the world, you know, because math is all they know. And their view is, it's all I know, and by God, I want to make everybody else know it. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not on that team.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, I mean, if even at the with a status quo, less than 1% of bachelor's degrees are in mathematics, it shows that the nation is not interested in this field. Although we would be conceding this kind of a major area of training for our students nationwide by pulling the plug this way.
Well, you know, interesting. We have a lot of jobs. We have this nice thing called STEM. You know, we all know it. Science, technology, engineering, math. And we say we need more people in STEM jobs if we're going to compete with the Chinese and the Indians and whatever else. Well, one thing, for example, of engineers who graduated this last June, just as many are unemployed as the national unemployment rate. Same with computer scientists. You know, there's not a shortage of people with these skills. It's that the jobs aren't being created. Now, perhaps our corporations and the government and universities should create more jobs in this area. But at this point, we do not have a shortage of STEM people. We really don't.
Finally, in terms of the area, now you say that we could replace mathematics with different types of coursework that would kind of challenge the mind in that way. What do you make of other areas of education that seem to get no respect at all, things like arts, music, things that, well, certainly don't lead to profitable careers usually?
Well, okay. I've been a teacher for a long time, and by the way, an undergraduate teacher. And starting in September, I'm going to teach again. And by the way, it's an introductory course, mainly freshmen. I love doing that. I do not regard students as a clientele or as customers. But I do believe for education to be properly done, you have to make your subject interesting so they want to learn more. It's not pandering. It's saying, hey, political science, mathematics, physics, you know, there's really something great here. But it's our job to get this across to the kids. We can do it. I try to do it.
Right.
I'm told I'm pretty successful. I hope my colleagues in mathematics can do it.
Well, probably more challenging than ever now that students are walking into class with laptops and iPads and all the rest of it.
Oh, just let me say this. In my class, no laptops allowed. No way. They have to have their eye on the front because I've sat in the back of classrooms when I'm observing classes. I know what's on the laptop screens. You know.
But you're not seeing. They're probably sneaking their cell phones in, though, and using.
In my class, I can see what is in every student's ear. No. Hey, there's an art to teaching, and your eye is everywhere. It's like a waiter in a good restaurant.
That sounds like a good policy for a classroom. Professor Andrew Hacker, a professor of political science at Queens College, formerly taught at Cornell. Professor Hacker, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. And by the way, I'm very fond of the state of Michigan.
Yep. In fact, I know you did some graduate work at the University of Michigan.
I did indeed spend a year in Ann Arbor. In fact, I met my wife there. So you can do no wrong.
Indeed. Now, you can find Professor Hacker's piece in the New York Times on their website now titled, Is Algebra Necessary? We'll be right back to talk to Bernie Porn, president of Epic MRA, their latest survey on the presidential race here in Michigan, released today, finding that momentum has shifted somewhat dramatically. You will find out how that is and who's actually ahead now. That's next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.